Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number to get you through to the studios and right to our microphones for you to have dialogue and discussion with us on the issues each day is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you through to the studios, right to our microphones. We can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion as we face the issues. We invite you to call. It is an interesting time that we have when you call. Give your insights, ask your questions. That's what our format is about, with a Q&A process for you to become involved. As we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the Word of God, according to the Scripture. The only thing that we can go to that's real truth is the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Jesus said that in John 8:31-32 to his disciples. And then Jesus further expressed truth. He said, "I am truth," in John 14:16. And then Jesus expands that even further when he says, "Thy word is truth." So it's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that is the source book for truth for all of us. May I recommend to you that we seek to find the truth on any issue, and generally speaking, we can go to the Scripture. You see, it was God that created the home. He created government. He created the church, and he did so in that order. So anytime we talk about anything in relationship to the home, the family, theology, Bible, theological doctrinal discussion, or what is called in so often, so many times, in so many cases, political, it is actually biblical. Because from Genesis 1:1 through Genesis, through Revelation 22, we find nothing but the truth of the Word of God dealing with issues that confront us in any of these categories of life. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's what we find taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, especially in the Washington Beltway. But I go back to Jan Hus, the 15th century church reformer and theologian. When Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I am thankful, ladies and gentlemen, we still have a few men of God that love the Word of God, women also that love the Word, that's willing to stick to the truth. We need to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Nothing but the truth is what we need to seek. And we find answers into that in the written, revealed Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, to answer all of your questions about lawn care power equipment and landscape equipment and power backup equipment for hurricane preparedness season. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. If you ask the question, where is that located? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. You'll find that 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about the issue today with a question mark. Losing America? Are we losing America as we once have known it? Are we losing America and our constitutional liberties and our freedom of speech and freedom of religion? Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that across America today, we have witnessed how quickly some governors and mayors have simply, by executive order, modified or canceled our Bill of Rights under the cloud of a pandemic. May I say to you that we need to recognize that this has taken place. Here's an article by Matt Staver at Liberty Council. He says, yesterday we received a desperate call from the Kansas City, Missouri church, whose local government is reaching new and terrifying heights in destroying our constitutional freedom. The Kansas City government is now demanding that churches turn over membership lists along with the names, telephone numbers, and physical addresses of anyone who enters the church. This order also applies to all businesses. Further, this article says from Matt Staver, Liberty Council, the new order states that by recording names and contact information, the health department will be able to more quickly trace, test, isolate individuals who may have been exposed to COVID-19. Anyone who does not provide this information should be refused entrance in any business. And this article further states, the Germans did this very thing to Jews, collecting the names and locations of all known synagogue attendees in the early days of the Nazi regime. Matt Staver says, never in our wildest dreams could we have imagined Nazi-like measures designed to surveil, track, and spy upon what was once free American people. Yes, yet that is exactly what the Kansas City misguided government officials are now demanding from its citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, have we found some reason to set aside a Bill of Rights? Does the Bill of Rights state that in some cases, when there's a national crisis, that the Bill of Rights can be made moot, eviscerated, non-effective, or in some way simply set aside? I don't think so. There's never been a time in U.S. history, in my lifetime and in the lifetime of the history of America as I have studied, never been a time in the lifetime of America during any major, serious, deadly flu outbreak or otherwise, where our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and our civil liberties have been set aside and considered null and void. I just don't believe that's what our founding fathers had in mind when our Bill of Rights was given to us. And I find it egregious when I find a headline here further. City demands churches to turn over names and addresses and phone numbers. Another major article on that subject. Here's another article that says, who do you think they are? Knox County, Tennessee bans communion, hymnals, and even Bibles in church services. The article says it's even worse in Knox County, Tennessee, where the health department has just announced that while churches may reopen on May the 1st, the Lord's Supper is totally forbidden. The order announced by the Knox County Health Department Regional Health Hospital Coordinator, who announced the communion, is not part of core worship. Here we have, ladies and gentlemen, the government agencies, the arms of government, mayors, governors, and city leaders that are now making the decision who or what can be used in relationship to church services. Who's to make a decision on what is the core value of a church service or religious services? Who makes the decision on whether or not you can have services in person or whether it's got to be in the car or via the internet? Who makes that decision? Is it the responsibility of government to do so? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, when you find in Nehemiah chapter 4, you find where there was the attack upon them for what they were doing. And it was Nehemiah that said, Lord, you see what they're saying. Lord, you see what they're doing. Lord, would you handle this problem? I think this is the thing that we need to do today as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, is say, God, you see what's happening. You see what's taking place. Would you vindicate us in this attack upon churches? But ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the attack on the churches. All of this has come about as a result of Dr. Tedros, the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Fauci, the head of the National Institute of Health, and Dr. Birx, also involved with CDC and the NIH. Ladies and gentlemen, we find it egregious when we have these folks in white jackets making the decision on how our churches ought to be run. I understand, I'm fully aware, ladies and gentlemen, that the first announcement that I believe our president was duped into believing that 2.2 million people in America would die lest we had a national shutdown. And they said that 2.2 million people, our president restated, repeated that number dozens and dozens of times, thinking that somehow, some way, that was correct. And it is simply not correct at all. They finally lowered that to 500,000. Then Dr. Fauci said somewhere between 100 and 240,000. And now he is admitting that this pandemic, this virus, this coronavirus, might take the lives of what would be the average death rate of the normal annual flu season. That is what I've said the whole time. And that's what I believe that we have seen take place. We've seen a real virus that has been weaponized across America to be utilized to change America from what we once knew it to be. Are we losing America as we have known it? May I say, ladies and gentlemen, some cities and some counties and some states are simply ignoring our Bill of Rights. What about our First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, 14th Amendment? What about the rights that we have under these constitutional protections? Even the DOJ, Attorney General William Barr, has warned cities and states and mayors and governors that our Constitution cannot be set aside during a crisis. I have seen, and I have in my archives of files, ladies and gentlemen, and articles just in the past several days, where over 60 churches and pastors have filed suit against their mayors, against their city councils, against the governors in their states, simply because they have overridden their responsibility, their authority, by literally setting aside, eviscerating, and canceling our First Amendment rights. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron took legal action against Governor Andy Beshear, filing a brief in support of Liberty Counsel's lawsuit defending Maryville Baptist Church. The point of the First Amendment is that Governor Beshear does not get to decide whether a virtual gathering is sufficient for every person of faith. On the issue, Governor Beshear has gone remarkably far in dictating how Kentuckians should exercise their religious rights. He further states, this is unconstitutional. Many pastors and churches are being targeted by state and local governments for exercising their God-given constitutional rights to worship, including even online and or parking lot services. And it goes on to talk about what is taking place. This is written by Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel. He says, the defiant governor still refuses to listen, and Liberty Counsel's client, Maryville Baptist Church, along with every church in Kentucky, continues to suffer from its illegal orders that prohibits all religious gatherings of any kind in the state. But ladies and gentlemen, we've come to a very low point in America. And I've said many times on this broadcast in the past several weeks, we're watching the absolute tectonic change in America, the change academically, the change educationally, the change politically, the change socially, the change economically, the change religiously and spiritually in America. And I don't believe we'll ever go back to what will be called normal because of what we're seeing. We have seen a virus that's been weaponized to totally transform America from the land of the free and the home of the brave, from a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, to a socialist dictatorship style of governance in America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what America is about, and that's not how we should recognize it as being okay. We found, ladies and gentlemen, that across America, we've seen the overreaching executive orders that have shut down churches, arrested pastors, made criminals out of normal citizens, and caused chaos, confusion, and hysteria and panic in our once free America. Are we really losing America as we have once known it? Here's an article that says Federal Appeals Court grants Billitt County Church injunction to hold drive-in services. Louisville, Kentucky. A federal appeals court in Cincinnati has granted a Billitt County Church and its pastor an emergency injunction that will allow the congregation to hold services. The ruling prohibits Brashear and all of the Commonwealth officials from enforcing any orders prohibiting church services in Maryville Baptist Church if the church, its ministers, and its congregants adhere to proper health requirements mandated for life-sustaining entities. Ladies and gentlemen, we are watching the repression and the prosecution and persecution of Christians and churches and God's people in the United States of America. I would have never thought 6 months ago that this would be possible. I would have never dreamed, ladies and gentlemen, that it would be possible for any governmental agency to just say to the churches, shut down, and we would bow and bend to it. I would have never dreamed it possible, ladies and gentlemen, that Christians, pastors, and churches would be prosecuted for simply speaking the truth in love and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, ladies and gentlemen, the sad state and condition in our great nation today has worsened in that our states, several of the states, multitudes of the states, have invited snitching. If you're not familiar with that, it is a Hitler's form of control of people, where the government invites your friends and your family and your neighbors to call in and report on you if you are doing something that they deem to be incorrect according to the rules and the regulations. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a sad state of affairs, but as a result of that, we found across America thousands that have snitched on their neighbors and sent nasty notes, as one article put it. Let me share this with you before we make a transition in our broadcast today. Here's an article that says, neighbors send nasty stay-at-home note to a woman who leaves the house. Turns out the woman is a 911 dispatcher. I'll not read the elongated letter that was written and placed on the female dispatcher's windshield wiper for automobile, but it says, please stay at home. It says, this letter is signed by all of your neighbors. Final part of the letter says, and do everything, and also do everyone in your neighborhood a favor and keep your kids inside, the letter demanded. They are loud. Help us help to do your part in keeping our town safe. Stop leaving your home. And then the neighbors discovered that she was a 911 operator working on the midnight shift, trying to keep people safe on the streets in their city and town. Ladies and gentlemen, when we find this chaos and confusion, it allows the socialist, Marxist Democrats to take control in so many areas of governance, and even to the point where AOC has now introduced a bill in the U.S. House of Representatives, a bill that will literally be a confiscatory bill that will allow the government to take control of all property if that bill could ever see the light of day. Of course, it's my hope that it will not, but it ever sees the light of day, it will literally convert everything that's known as property ownership in America to a simply socialist, Marxist dictatorship, governmental control of all properties. Ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted when we have special recognized guests to be with us on Let's Face the Issues. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have today Florida Congressman Mike Hill from District 1 of the state of Florida, our very special guest today on Let's Face the Issues. And I say welcome to our congressman, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Hill is his name. Mike Hill is a Republican, a conservative, a District 1 congressman, former Air Force officer. He's an attorney, husband, father, and a Christian who loves the Lord and our Constitution. Congressman, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor to be on your show.
It's always a true blessing for us, and I say that not in a placating fashion, but it's always a blessing to have you and your insight, especially coming from an Air Force background, a military background, coming from a Republican conservative background and an attorney's background. Always treasure your insights. You've heard my monologue. Tell me your thoughts and what you think in relationship to your perspective of what I've just said.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, you were spot on. Everything that you said, I agree with 100%. And I'll tell you what has been so amazing to me about this whole COVID-19 insanity, which I'll call it.
Yes.
How easily so large a portion of our population gave into it and willingly gave up their liberties, willingly gave up their freedom. So I tried to understand, why would people do that? And I think it all boils down to one word, Dr. Youngblood, and that's fear.
Yes.
There was a spirit of fear which resonated across this country and made people so afraid of going out, of leaving their homes, of even going to worship, because they let this spirit of fear dominate them instead of a spirit of liberty. Because we know the spirit of liberty is the Holy Spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty.
Yes.
But instead, they were allowing this spirit of fear, which the Bible tells us does not come from God. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So too many were giving in to this spirit of fear. And I'll tell you, I haven't here in my District 1, that's in the Pensacola area, and I've been attacked on social media by people who are saying that I'm not taking this seriously, that I should self-quarantine and so forth. But it's all nonsense, and your monologue proved that, Dr. Youngblood.
Well, one of the things that I'm, just as you have said, I'm astounded by is the fact that any governmental agency or division thereof could simply say, if you please, from a loudspeaker, say to the churches, shut down. I would have never dreamed that would be possible, realizing our religious liberties and our freedoms that we have, especially in our Bill of Rights and the First Amendment in particular, our religious liberties and the freedoms that we have, and yet we find it so easily done. And it's on the basis of a so-called crisis. Now, I understand, and I've said for weeks and weeks and weeks now on this broadcast, it's a very real virus, no question about it. It's a deadly virus. So also is the common flu. But we've gone through all kinds of SARS, the Spanish flu, N1H1, et cetera, et cetera. In years gone by, we've never shut America down. And yet when you go back and look at the historicity of those major diseases, those major flu viruses, those pathogens that were in America, we've never shut America down. And yet the death rate, and any death is sad, one death is bad. But every year, in fact, you can go back just simply to 2017, 2018, 2019, and so far in 2020, this particular virus is about equal to the annual flu. In fact, it was on February the 26th, if I'm not mistaken, that Dr. Fauci had written an article for the American Medical Association, and he made a de facto statement. We need not worry. This pathogen will be no more harmful than the normal annual flu season, end quote. And yet we find that Dr. Fauci is a mouthpiece for Bill Gates. He sits on the board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He and his cohort, Dr. Birx, they're both mouthpieces for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that foundation either owns or controls up to 9 pharmaceutical research centers. And as a result of that, they are on the fast track to prepare a vaccine that Bill Gates would love to see. In fact, he said publicly on television, he believes that we need to keep America shut down until there's a vaccine, because he has the goal of vaccinating 7 billion people. That's the approximate number on the face of the globe. And of course, he's a eugenist. He believes that we need to reduce the population to protect Mother Earth. He believes that abortion is good. He believes that you need to sterilize as many as you can to prevent reproduction. In fact, in each nation that he's gone in with his vaccinations, he's killed more people than he's helped as a result of it. As a result of that, China, Nigeria, and other places now have suits in the world court against him and his foundation for killing and or sterilizing people. But that's where we are. And getting back to the fundamental of what is taking place with this, what's your position and thoughts on how did this virus originate?
Well, I think we know now, Dr. Youngblood, that it came from Wuhan, China, and it came from a lab there. It was manufactured. It was not a naturally occurring virus that mutated from some other virus and then infected the population. It was not. It was created in a lab, and we don't know if it was by accident or intentional, but it was released from that lab and caused devastating effects on the people there in Wuhan, China, and then began to spread around the world. And I've read from some scientists that spread was very unnatural, that a pandemic does not operate that way, where in different environments, in different temperature zones, that it can spread that quickly like that. Usually a virus will be isolated to a particular temperature zone or a location. To have this one spread the way it did, they said, was very unnatural. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but I would like to see a lot more data and information about this whole thing. Interestingly, Dr. Youngblood, you mentioned how Bill Gates wants to vaccinate billions of people and wants to keep everything shut down until that vaccine is available. The interesting thing about that is he has a patent on that vaccine already.
Yes.
So he can be in a position to make more money than he currently has. It is utterly insane, and it is sinister. But here's one thing I'd like to point out, too, Dr. Youngblood, if I may.
Go ahead.
All these businesses have been shut down in Florida and across the U.S., but there is one business that has not been closed and has been operating with impunity, at least right here in Florida, and that's the abortion industry. We are finding that abortion clinics in Florida are violating not only Florida statute, but they have violated all four of Governor DeSantis's executive orders, and absolutely zero action has been taken against them. I can speak to the one here in Pensacola, the American Family Practice Abortion Clinic. First of all, they are operating against Florida statute. That Florida statute is 390.012, which speaks about abortion. And it said in order for an abortion clinic to operate, they must have admitting privileges or a transfer agreement at a nearby hospital. Now, Dr. Youngblood, that was a bill that I sponsored back in 2016. It was passed and signed into law. And the intent of that bill was to protect a woman in the event that she is injured during the abortion procedure. So it is now on the books. Right here in Pensacola, we have a clinic which does not have admitting privileges or a transfer agreement with a nearby hospital. I brought that to the attention of the Agency for Healthcare Administration, to our Attorney General, to the Department of Health, and also to our governor. Brought that to their attention. Absolutely nothing has taken place, even though they are breaking the law. And then Governor DeSantis issued his executive orders that people from Louisiana coming into the state should be quarantined, that there would be only essential surgeries done, no elective surgeries, and abortion by definition is an elective surgery, that there would be no more than 10 people congregated in any one facility at any time. The American Family Planning Clinic in Pensacola and other clinics, Planned Parenthood clinics, abortion clinics around the state, are violating all four of those. We have evidence, proof, that people from Louisiana are coming to Florida because they are shut down in Louisiana, are coming to Florida to have abortions. There are sometimes as many as 15 to 20 cars in that parking lot. Abortions are being performed. Those are elective surgeries, and nothing is being done about it.
That's the sad thing. That's the sad thing when you find nothing being done about that. That's not just in the state of Florida, Congressman. That's generally speaking across the nation where that's been allowed, along with pot shops continuing to operate and liquor stores continuing to operate, and yet they've tried to shut churches down across America. I find it offensive and antithetical to anything that's called constitutional responsibility that our governing officials have for we, the people in the United States of America. We've got about 1 minute left on this segment of the broadcast, Congressman, and then we'll take a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Let me simply interject this thought for our listeners to be thinking on while we take the 1 minute break. What we're seeing today is the inversion, the turning upside down of our Bill of Rights and the rights that we have constitutionally speaking. How do we respond to that? How should we act? What should we do? Should we just simply toss up our hands and say, all right, you do with this as you please. We're going to lose America, lose our Constitution, lose our liberties. And we're going to come back after the break, Congressman, ask you some questions in relationship from a constitutionalist standpoint, from a legal standpoint. What should we do? How should we respond? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Be right back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to continue. Let's face the issues right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.